I went to the doctor a few days ago for my annual physical. I'm in very good health. I don't know if you care about that, but I care about that. I was talking to the nurse, after she did like my intake and stuff, she said, you should get dessert tonight. And I did. But we were talking, and I mentioned that I work with college students. And she said, oh, God bless you. And I said, I love it. I love them very much. She said, really? Do you really? I said, yeah, they give me lots of hope for the future. And she seemed very confused by that. In fact, a lot of people that I talk to about campus ministry, they'll say, oh, that's nice. That's why. I hope you really enjoy that. And I say, I do. They give me a lot of hope for the future. And pretty much everyone I have ever told that either says, oh, thank goodness, that's great, or was just deeply confused. I want to tell you, the young people in America right now, they're amazing. They have their problems. They're amazing. I love them very much. They give me so much hope for the future. As someone who works with them like all the time, they give me so much hope for the future. I hope you have that hope as well. I pray that you might experience that hope that I experienced in knowing them. They're great. There are two qualities about them that I really like. Okay, two qualities about them that I at least find interesting. Firstly, they have very interesting pockets of ignorance. There's lots of stuff they just don't know. And it's been a joy teaching them a gigantic vocabulary that I thought they had, but they didn't. And every now and again, I'll say a word, and they'll look at me with obvious and visible confusion. Once when I first got here, it was daily mass over at the Newman House, and a few students there. The reading was from the prophet Jonah. And I described Jonah as a bit of a curmudgeon. And I could see that they were confused. And so they asked me after mass, Father, what does crudmuffin mean? So I did my best to explain what a curmudgeon is. And they made fun of me for weeks, using this word that apparently they had never heard it. No one there had ever heard it. I thought it was a pretty normal word. They didn't know it. Again, at a retreat that I was preaching here early in the year for some of our leadership, I forget what I was talking about. I said, this could really hamper your spiritual growth. One of the students raised his hand and says, hamper? I said, slow down your spiritual growth. That's the second thing I love about this young generation. They're ignorant. They know that they're ignorant about things, and they have absolutely no fear about just saying, I don't know what that means. Will you tell me what that means? They have very little anxiety about not knowing stuff and are very willing to just say, I don't know what that is. Will you explain it to me? I love that they will absolutely interrupt conversations and just say, what does that mean? I love that about them, even if it is about kind of silly things that I thought they knew, but apparently not. I'm leading that Bible study on Mondays, which you should come to. It's a great time, 8:30 a.m. or 6:30 p.m. on Mondays. It's a wonderful time. We're reading through Genesis. We're only in chapter 4. You can catch up in like 5 minutes. It's very easy. But one of my favorite things about doing the Bible study like that is all these questions that I get. And I find sometimes that people are like afraid to ask questions. They don't want to look ignorant. Well, I don't care. And you shouldn't either. The apostles today come to our Lord and ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? Lord, why do you preach in riddles? It seems you're making it difficult to understand. And our Lord tells them to make it difficult to understand. I preach to them in parables and I give them riddles so that they might not understand. So that it is more difficult to understand what I'm saying. To our modern ears, this might sound very harsh. This might sound unfair. Jesus goes to the people and he wants them to understand. He wants them to know who he is, and he wants them to know the gospel, and he wants them to know his Father, and he wants them to receive the Holy Spirit. Then why does he speak to them in riddles? Why does he make it harder to understand? Why does he present them mysteries and not the simple truth? It's a beautiful thing in reading sacred scripture, encountering the word, that it is difficult to understand. It is hard. If anyone comes to you and looks at a passage in scripture and says, this is what this means, and try to spell it out very plainly, they are almost certainly wrong. It is always more complicated, more mysterious, than a simple reading of the words. And for a lot of people who encounter sacred scripture and attempt to read sacred scripture, or to understand the teachings of the church and her tradition, this is a big turnoff. It sounds very difficult. I've had so many people over my few years as a priest come to me and say, Father, just explain it to me clearly. Just say it plainly. Is it this or is it this? And I always say, it's kind of both and neither. It's complicated. Whatever the question is, I can get a little long-winded and very long answers to simple questions. But it's because there's more here than can be explained in simple speech. And so our Lord presents these things to us in mysterious ways, in difficult ways, so that we engage with it. It's difficult on purpose, so that we receive it. Our Lord gives the parable of the sower, and his apostles come to him, and they ask him about it, and so he explains it. It's one of the few parables he explains. He tells us exactly what it means. That the same word given by the same sower, the same speaker, when it lands in different places, is received differently. Received by different people, it's received differently. In order for the seed to grow, it has to break up the ground. It has to disturb the earth. On a hard path, in a hardened heart, the seed can't do that. If the earth refuses to be moved, refuses to be challenged, the seed can't grow. It's in the good soil, where the earth is moved out of the way by the roots. But it's actually broken up and disturbed a little by the seed, which is the word. We have to allow ourselves to be challenged by the word of God. We have to allow ourselves to be moved, allow ourselves to be disturbed or confused for a while. And we have to ask questions. Notice that yes, our Lord presents these things in a mystery, in a parable, in a riddle. But the moment someone asks him a question about it, he answers. He wants you to ask. If you don't understand something, ask. Sometimes people come up to me very sheepishly to ask me a question about the faith, as if they're bothering me by asking me a question. No, you're not bothering me. There is nothing I love more in the world than talking about this. I gave up everything to be here and explain stuff. And I absolutely love it. Don't be afraid to ask the question about the thing that doesn't make sense to you, or the thing that challenges you, or the thing that disquiets you, that makes you uncomfortable. Be willing to be challenged by the word of God, and know that as the prophet Isaiah says to us today, his word does not return to him void, but always fruitful. His word will always accomplish the goal for which he sets it. If we let ourselves be challenged by the word of God, if we let ourselves be challenged by the teachings and tradition of his church, then we can yield in our hearts a spiritual abundance, 30, 60, 100-fold. Only by allowing ourselves to be broken up, disturbed, challenge. Do we grow and yield fruit and find our salvation? So be not afraid. Ask the dumb questions. Bother me about it. Come and ask me whatever question you want. I'll do my best. We'll look into it together. And we'll receive.